Bibles and you want to open up to Hebrews chapter 4. I'm going to read a very familiar passage of Scripture, but this afternoon, I don't know, felt like the Lord just opened up something to me that He's trying to get across to the body of Christ and has been for last little while anyway, I'll put it that way, and that's talking about rest, resting in Jesus. And in Hebrews chapter 4, let's just begin reading with verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the gospel preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith with those who heard it. I want you to really think about that statement. The gospel didn't profit. The gospel only profits if it's mixed with faith, okay? For we who have believed do enter into rest, as He said, as I have sworn in my wrath that they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Note that the works were finished from the foundation or the founding of the world. For He spoke in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all His works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remains that some must enter therein, and those to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Now, there's some things I want you to see as we go along here. Number one, God worked, labored, toiled 7 days, or 6 days, and then He rested the seventh. But in those 6 days, He finished the work. He didn't rest until the work was finished, okay? Again, at verse 7, again He limits a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long time, as it is said, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. For if Joshua would have given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remains therefore a rest to the people of God. For he who has entered into His rest, he has also ceased from his own works as God did from His. You get that? Let us, and this is really the verse that the Lord spoke to me this afternoon. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession or our acknowledgement, for we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. I want to go back to let us labor to enter into that rest. Now, there's two sides of the fence, if you will, or there's two ditches, one on either side of the road that people get into. One is working to get, and the other is not doing anything. One is passive, the other's active, and there's a truth in between this, okay? And the truth is what I want to talk to you about. God is wanting us to rest in a finished work. Now, how do we know what the finished work is? Obviously, through the Word of God. especially through the Pauline epistles, we are told how Jesus has fulfilled this old covenant that God had given, and how what these things were pointing to. And we've learned the what has occurred through the redemptive work of Jesus. Right? We're all comfortable that we know what Jesus has done for us. Am I correct? Okay. If not, we need to talk about that. All right? So, if we know what He's done, then we need to rest in His work. Right? Did Jesus work? Yeah. Obviously, Jesus worked. There was things that He had to do. Now, what I find interesting is the word labor is not the same word as work. Actually, if you look this word up in the Greek, spoudazo, something to that effect, it means to put forth effort. Unlike the word ergon, which is generally translated as work, which means toil. He is not telling us to work by the sweat of our brow. God never ordained for man to work by the sweat of his brow. God did ordain man to work, but to do the works of the Lord. And I was thinking about that, just meditating on it this afternoon and going back and reading in the second chapter of Genesis how God, one of the things that God did on a work day was He planted a garden. And then He put man, that first man, in that garden with a mandate to till it, work the soil, and guard it. If you look at the Hebrew, that's what He's saying. Till it and guard it. Okay? In other words, take care of what I have planted. Take care of what I've done. Now, God has planted, if you will, in us a garden. He has put things in us, and He's told us to keep it, to work it. In other words, take care of what I've put in you. And the way God has put things into us is through His Word and by His Spirit. And you'll hear me say that as long as I live. It'll always go back to the Word and Spirit of God. But God has put things into us through His Word and by His Spirit, and He wants us to take care of that, but not to sweat while we're doing it. In other words, it's not toil. However, it is effort. Does that make sense to you? Because if you just look at the word labor, you'd think it's a paradox. Labor to enter into the rest. Put forth the effort to get into the rest. Now, the interesting thing about this fourth chapter is making a contrast between Israel, obviously, and us today as New Covenant people. Israel had a promise from God to go into a land, to live in houses they didn't build, to enjoy crops that they didn't plant and vineyards that they didn't plant. In other words, the work was already done and they were able to go in and enjoy a finished work, if you will. But because of obstacles, they wouldn't do it. Sound familiar? God has given us His Word, these promises of God. Just as surely as He gave the promise to Israel that I have given you this land. Possess it. In other words, put forth the effort to go into the land I've given you. Labor, if you will, to enter into the rest. And that's what the Lord is telling us to do, to put forth the effort to go into and enjoy the promises that God's given us. You didn't work to get salvation, but you put forth effort to get saved. Right? There was something you had to do. You had to come to the realization that you can't save yourself. No amount of works can save anyone. Right? So it's not about works. It's about faith. It's about what you believe. What kept the nation of Israel out of the promised land? Unbelief. We just read it. Unbelief. That's what kept them out of the promised land. They did not believe. It's nice when it works. It's unpleasant when it doesn't. Okay? But God is wanting us to labor to get into the rest, and Israel wouldn't put forth the effort to go into the promised land, just like people today don't want to put forth the effort to enjoy the promises of God. How many would agree that there are obstacles to the promises of God? Obviously. They're in front of us. Satan comes immediately to steal the Word of God. What's he doing when he steals the Word? See, you rest in the Word. The rest is in the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. We're to rest in what he's done, so he's told us what he's done, so we're to rest in that Word. I've redeemed you. I've saved you. I have taken care of the sin problem. You don't have to. What you have to do is believe what I've done. Right? Rest in my Word. Are you resting in the Word on salvation? Are you absolutely certain that you are in right standing with God? You are if you believe the Word of God. You are if you're settled in that Word. You're putting forth an effort that will tear down any kind of stronghold, that will capture any thought that's contrary to that Word. You won't imagine anything against the Word of God. You won't let that build inside your thinking, right? So where's the rest going to take place? In your thoughts. You're going to enter that in by letting the Word dominate your thought life. God's Word dominating the thought life. When God's Word dominates the thoughts, we can rest. What does Isaiah 26:3 say? You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Why? Because he trusts in you. If your mind's fixed on the Lord, you trust in the Lord, and you have peace in the storm. God never told us that we would never experience a storm in our life. God never told us that things would be easy. What God's Word has told us is if you live godly in Christ Jesus, you will suffer persecution. He tells us that Satan comes immediately to steal the Word. And if you're not resting, he'll get the Word. Now you see what he means by putting forth effort to enter in to what God has already promised us, what God's given us. I believe this is why we're not seeing the body of Christ operating, doing the exploits of Jesus in earth today, is because we haven't yet entered into that rest. We haven't put forth the effort to rest in the Word of God, believing that the Word of God will do the work and we don't have to sweat it. You with me? So we're talking about putting forth effort to walk in the Spirit. The sweat comes from the flesh. You ever notice the Spirit doesn't sweat? More profound than you think. Okay? So when we try to do things in the flesh, then it becomes the ergon, it becomes the toil, it becomes the work, and people wear themselves out. Well, I've tried this, I've tried that. God doesn't try anything, and He's not wanting us to try anything. All He's wanting us to do is believe what He's already proven. It's a finished work. God finished, God rested, Jesus finished and provided a rest for us, and Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. You understand? He's not laboring today. He's already done the work, and He's wanting us to rest in what He has already done. Now, that covers the whole gamut of your life, regardless of what it is. Obviously, salvation. He tells us to be led by the Spirit of God. Do you know you have to put forth effort to be led by the Spirit of God? What do you have to do? Control your thinking. It's not automatic. You can't read enough Word, you can't memorize enough Word not to have to put forth effort to control your thought life. Because there's all types of things around you to interject things that are contrary to the Word of God. Things to try to keep you out of rest. How many people, when you say something to them, say, "I doubt it"? That's a bad confession. That's a horrible confession. Don't just get that out of your vocabulary. As I was thinking about this, I was thinking about how in a court of law, when the attorney has finished with all his evidence and everything, he says, "I rest my case." In other words, I have put forth all the evidence. Now I'm going to rest in that. This is what we do with the Word of God. When things come against us, regardless of how it is, whether it's trying to attack your spiritual life or trying to attack your physical life, you put forth the Word of God, you give the evidence, and once you've presented all the evidence, you rest your case. I rest in it. I rest in my salvation. I rest in the Word of God concerning my salvation. I have to rest in the Word of God concerning all other aspects of my life. You understand? Put forth the evidence. Now here's what's happening, especially in the area of the physical attacks. People are putting forth physical evidence. I don't need to know all the detail to pray for you. As a matter of fact, if you keep giving me all the detail, it could possibly hinder my faith. Because by the time some people get through, you wonder if God Himself could do anything for them. They paint such a gory picture, thinking on the wrong thing. And without realizing what they're doing, they're not resting in spiritual evidence, but they've worked themselves up with a physical evidence, and they're wearing themselves out, and they're sweating. You understand? And you do it long enough, it'll take you under. You with me? I was just talking to someone this afternoon, and they were giving me a report about a mutual friend, and the report was something like, they said this and this and this and this. I said, well, you go back and tell him, he said. They say, but what does he say? What does the Word of God say? Are you going to just camp down in what they say? Or will you dare rest in what he said? In other words, get in here, put forth the effort to find out all the evidence in your favor. And state your case. And then once you've presented the evidence, rest. I think about what Naomi told Ruth. You know, when she went to Boaz and asked him about being the kinsman redeemer, and Ruth presented her case to Boaz. And then when she came back the next morning, Naomi said, don't go to work. Think about it. He won't rest until this is taken care of. You rest. You presented the evidence. Now rest. It's not your responsibility to make it happen. It's your responsibility to rest in what God has said, the evidence that you presented. Now, if you don't know the evidence, you'll be hard-pressed building a case. You won't be confident. You understand? And I can tell you right now, when you face the adversary, the devil, you'd better be confident in the Word of God. You with me? He knows whether or not we know. The seven sons of Sceva could tell you about that. They didn't intimidate the devil in the least. He knew they did not know in the person they were talking about. The name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. You better know Jesus is your Lord. You understand? It's not what somebody else has said. It's not what you've heard. It's what you've experienced and what you have the evidence on the inside of you. You have that to present. And you rest in it. This is what God says. But it's amazing to me that in this day and time, when we have more revelation of the Word of God, I think, than we've ever had, how well-meaning, professing Christian people had rather believe a natural report than a spiritual report. It seems like it's easier. And the reason it's easier is because we haven't trained ourselves to walk in the Spirit. And so if I'm walking in the flesh, it's easier to believe the flesh. And so then I'll think I can make excuses. The flesh can also make excuses. Well, that was for them, but not for me. Or that was for another generation. That was for another person. Or that was just for a few select people. And you know, for many years, I thought that myself. That it just, knowing that God is no respecter of persons, I just thought God played favorites. I know, oxymoron, right? Well, I was a moron. Okay? To not believe the Word of God. No, God honors His Word. He doesn't play favorites. God honors His Word. God watches over His Word. So if we present His Word as evidence, God's watching over that Word. You with me? Lord, this is your promise to me. Do you know God is still keeping His promise to Abraham? I mean, that's pretty incredible when you think about how many years that's been, and God's still keeping His promise to Abraham. Well, if He can do that, don't you think God can keep His promise to us? Of course He can. But the key to whether we see that promise come into fruition is our resting in the Word of God. Resting in the Word. Once you rest your case, you don't have to put forth any effort. Right? You present it, I rest my case, and you sit down. Fully armed with the Word of God. When you've done all you know to do, what do? Stand. With what? The full armor of God, and every piece of that armor is the Word of God. Or it has to do with the Word of God. Okay? So you rest covered with the Word. Lord, I believe in You. You're not a man. You can't lie. You're not a descendant of a man to where you have to repent. You don't have to change your mind. You can perform what You say. You can do it. Always. God doesn't say anything He can't back up. Think about it. Nothing He can't support. Now, when you look at this, and I had someone to ask me this years ago, they said that 12th verse of that 4th chapter seems out of place. Verse 11 says, "Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief, for the Word of God is quick and powerful." Believe the Word. It's a living Word. It's a powerful Word. Rest in the Word. It can do it. You understand? Jesus has finished the work. Rest in what He's done. Why? Because the Word is powerful enough to come to pass. It, you know, I think of how the Great Commission, how Jesus sent the believers out. And it says the Lord worked with them, confirming what? His Word. Confirming His Word. What was their part? Their part was to present the evidence. His part was to rule in favor of the evidence. Right? You think that's changed? No, it hasn't changed. So what we're to do is present the evidence and believe that God is powerful enough to support and rule in favor of the evidence. I've seen God answer a lot of prayers. I say I've seen God. I've seen a lot of prayers answered. How's that? The results. Got a phone call today. Got some good news of God answering prayer that we've been praying for. Amen? Not by accident. By intercession. Putting forth effort. You understand? Just putting forth the effort. And God is so faithful. If we'll learn the Word and rest in it. Rest in it. Do you ever struggle with being born again? I mean, do you ever doubt you're being born again? Why? You're resting in the Word. Well, what about the rest of it? Is one part easier for God than another part? No. God confirms His Word. God watches over His Word. That Word accomplishes what God pleases. Now, what am I going to do with it? See, that's the bottom line. What will I do with the Word? Thank God I know the Word on salvation. But what about all the other aspects of life? Do we know the Word of God concerning our daily living? Do you know it's the Word of God to walk in the Spirit? And do you know that the Lord has not told us to do something that we can't do? That would be unfair, wouldn't it? Now, the key to this is learning that we actually are spirit beings. And when we get the revelation that we're spirit beings, we can stop walking in the flesh. I was thinking this afternoon about Enoch and thinking about how death is the last enemy that's going to be destroyed. Do you know that there is a generation that's going to walk with God? There's a people that won't die. First Thessalonians chapter 4 will tell you all about that. We who are alive and remain, right? Versus those who have previously died. And I got to thinking about that. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Could it be that when we get the revelation of what Jesus Christ has done, and the same Spirit that raised Him from the dead makes our mortal bodies alive, could it be that once we get the revelation, that we could just usher in the coming of the Lord? Could it be us? Can we enter into the rest? Can we enter into the Word? Are you with me? I'm not trying to get spooky on you or anything like that. I'm just saying, how many of you know that the Word of God is coming to pass? That there's going to be mortal people that put on immortality, corruptible people that put on incorruption, some dead and some alive. Right? The dead will rise first. And then we're going through a transformation. It's going to be people who believe the Word of God more than they believe anything else. People who've entered in to a rest. Just resting in the Lord. I'm still processing all this because it's almost mind-boggling when you think about it. It's so easy to have preconceived ideas of how God's going to do things. I have never in my lifetime seen or heard as much concerning the Word of God on walking in the Spirit and walking in the Word as I have now. And I fully believe that the Lord is doing everything He can to get the message out. Before we came to church this morning, Siri asked me a question. She said, "Where are the watchmen?" Where where are the people who are supposed to be warning? That's what a watchman does, you understand. The watchman is looking out for any enemy activity and warning the people so the people aren't overcome with enemy activity. Where are the watchmen? Where's the truth gone? Where are the people that stand up and present the Word of God and say, this is the way, walk in it. This is the way. Focus on this. Meditate on this. Think on these things. That's a command. Think on these things. And every one of them are good, godly things, you understand. But what does the average church person think on? A lot of them think on ungodly things. And what I mean by ungodly is anything unlike God. And there's things other than stealing and killing and all this kind of stuff that's unlike God. It's unlike God to walk in the flesh. Ouch. It's unlike God not to believe His Word. God's calling us to a rest. But we have to put forth an effort to get there. And here again, the effort, I believe, is in getting your mind programmed with the Word of God. And when I say programmed, I mean to where it's covering all areas of your life. And I'm not necessarily talking about being able to quote the Scripture or whatever. I told Pat this morning, you know, I can misquote a lot of them. And then I thought about what I said, and it needs a disclaimer put to the end of it. I may misquote it according to your translation, but I certainly can tell you what the concept is. I don't have to have a direct King James English quote to walk in the Word of God. As a matter of fact, I won't walk in the Word of God with the direct quotes in some places. You with me? But you need to know the concept. What's God saying? What's God saying to me? And what God's saying to me is, put forth the effort to rest in my Word. Don't believe anything that doesn't agree with my Word. Don't entertain it. You understand? Don't entertain it. And I'm doing my best to try to walk in that mindset to where I'm not listening to all the negative things that's coming at me. I hear it, but I'm not paying attention to it. I want to pay attention to the Word of God so I can get people paying attention to the Word of God. You can tell me what they said, but I want to tell you what God says. I want to give you an option. And that option is to enter into a place that few people are finding these days. Let's enter into a place of rest and enjoy what Jesus has done. It would be a shame for Jesus to have gone through all the things that He went through and a person die and go to hell. But it would also be a shame for Jesus to go through all that He went through and the person to get taken out with sickness and disease. Or for a person to live their lives bound by whatever. After all that Jesus has done, and we're not resting in it. It's a finished work. It's a finished work. God did not tell us to spy out the land. He said, possess it. Don't even think about spying it out. Don't look and focus or put your attention on the obstacles and the giants. What did God say? That's what we have to focus on. In your personal life, what has God said to you? Focus on it. It doesn't matter if people say, you can't do that. You understand? Don't even think about what they say. Think about what God has said. Count down on what God said and stay in agreement with what God said. Just rest there. Now, the beauty of it, you don't have to make it happen. You just have to cooperate. God said it, that settles it. Okay? So I'll just rest in it. Present your case. What's come against you? Go in here and get the evidence. And once you've accumulated all the evidence, and lay it out. And once you've laid it out, rest in it. Father, your word says, I thank you that you're watching over that word. That word's coming to pass. So I'm going to rest in that. You've said this not just for them, but for me, because you say you're no respecter of persons. You say you never change. So from that generation to that generation to my generation, you haven't changed, so that is still a current word to me. I'm going to rest in it. And so, by submitting to God, you resist the devil. It's amazing to me how many Christians are talking about fighting the devil, doing battle with the devil. Well, Ephesians says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Where is that in your thought life? In your thought life. So how do I wrestle in my thought life with the Word? This is coming against this. Now, if I don't have the Word of God in me, this right here will overwhelm me. How can I bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ if I don't know it? You with me? Well, I guess it's just my time. And this is a big thing that's going right now, or going around now. It was just their time to go. Well, that's not in the Bible. Let me tell you what is in the Bible. With long life, I will satisfy him. It sounds to me like you can get satisfied. You with me? If you stay under the Word and under the Spirit. And that's really what that psalm's all about. Under the Word and under the Spirit. You rest in it. You rest in me. I say that over me every day. And also the 23rd Psalm. Every day. I have the best shepherd. Do you understand? It doesn't say that the enemy's never there, but he says, I can eat right in front of them. He prepares a table before me in the presence of. And we've been wanting him to run the enemy off when he wants us to enjoy the benefits in front of the enemy. The enemy sees us walking in the benefits of God and there's nothing he can do about it because we're resting in the Word. Our cup's running over. And so goodness and mercy are following me every day of my life. Every day, goodness and mercy follow me. So I rest in that. A lot of people are trying, you know, they're praying for goodness. They're praying for mercy for themselves. It's following me every day of my life. That's what the Word says. Can I rest in that? If I can rest in it, I can thank God for it. You understand? And I can capture any thought that's trying to negate that promise. God says this. I believe God. Every day of our life, we choose who we believe. You can have two reports from two different people, and you make a choice. I'm talking about conflicted reports, and you make a choice which one you believe. And it's amazing to me how many people that will fight you over a absolute wrong report. But they'll die for the wrong report. Why not live for the right one? Amen? Present your evidence. Rest your case in Jesus. That's putting forth the effort to enter into the rest. And that rest is where the Word of God is governing your life. When that happens, God's kingdom has come. And His will is being done in your life. Amen? Enter into the rest. Okay? Well, I hope you got something out of it. I needed to hear it. Because we're in a fast-paced society. You have to be active all the time. Sherry was telling me about something I never heard of. Huh?